Howdy, folks. Welcome back. It is a jam-packed Thursday edition of JJ After Dark. It's John Jastrzemski right here on The Fan, and we're going to welcome in one of the rock stars of NFL media right now. I mean, this guy's everywhere. He does Good Morning Football. He's going to be on the Super Bowl today, the NFL today. He's even doing Nickelodeon broadcasts. Former wide receiver, my main man, Nate Burleson. What's happening, Nate? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Nate, I'm fired up for this Super Bowl, man. I mean, I think about this matchup. It's the old GOAT in Tom Brady and against the guy who I think might be the GOAT maybe in 10 or 15 years in Patrick Mahomes. I think from a CBS standpoint, you guys got to be really, really happy with this matchup.
Oh, yeah. We're high-fiving each other, man. This is a great matchup. You know, I call it the GOAT versus the kid, and it's fitting because the actual name for a baby goat is called a kid. So this is the ultimate matchup of a guy who we praised for so long in Tom Brady, who is the GOAT, going up against a guy who is creating his own dynasty in Kansas City. You know, I heard a long time ago that the football gods are cruel and they demand sacrifice. And what that means is, you know, there's seasons that happen and you're scratching your head and saying, well, like, why? Why would Saquon Barkley be taken from us early on in the season? Why would Bosa go down early on in the season? You know, why would superstars go down? And you're frustrated because you feel like you got cheated. But the thing that the football guys do is they reward us in the long run. So as hellish of a 2020 that we all had, not just football related, but on a more serious note, COVID-19 related, quarantine related, pandemic related, the divisiveness in this country related. I think the football gods are like, you know what? The world needs a great Super Bowl matchup, and this couldn't get any better. Tom Brady wins it. It's the greatest walk-off in all of sports, even though I believe he's going to come back and play a couple more years. I mean, walking off and walking away from New England. If Patrick Mahomes wins it, we might as well start the conversation up. He's right up there with the 90s Bulls, the Lakers early 2000s, the Yankees. This dynasty is going to begin, and I'm not sure there's too many teams that can stop it.
Well, from a defensive standpoint, easier said than done, right, Nate? How do you possibly slow down this offense when Tyreek Hill is as fast as he is, when Travis Kelce is as much of a monster on third down, he's the best tight end in the league? Like, Nate, if you were a defensive coordinator, how in the world do you try to slow down the Kansas City Chiefs?
I feel like the only way that you can slow down the Kansas City Chiefs is treating it like the NCAA tournament, and that's just bracket everything. Just bracket, double team, put a guy on top, guy on bottom, and just two individuals. I feel like you have to bracket Travis Kelce, put a guy underneath, be physical at the line of scrimmage, and then have a guy watching him over the top. And then Tyreek Hill, the same thing. You can't really put a guy on the line of scrimmage and jam him up because most likely you're going to miss him. I mean, the dude is like a cat with pads on. It's fitting that his name is actually Cheetah. But you have to pick and choose your poison. And you don't want Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to get cooking. So what does that mean? Force other guys to beat you. And I'm not saying that they can't, because that's what makes them special. They have guys like Sammy Watkins, who we haven't even seen on the field in quite some time. Mecole Hardman. They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in the lineup. You know, DeMarcus Robinson. They got all these different individuals that are so damn talented. So for me, it's taking away the best scorer. Listen, if I'm going up, say this is a few years ago, and I'm going up against the Golden State Warriors, I'm going to make sure I know where the three shooters are. I'm going to make sure I know where Steph Curry is. I'm going to make sure I know where Kevin Durant is. And I'm going to make sure I know where Klay Thompson is. And I think that's what you have to focus on. Who are the three guys that you have to focus on every play? That's Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. Make the rest of the guys, the supporting cast, beat you.
Then you go to the other side of the field. And, Nate, I got to admit, maybe it was 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when Tom was playing the Super Bowl against Atlanta, or maybe it was the last Super Bowl you guys had at CBS when he was taking on the Rams. You know, I'm wondering, is this the last time we're going to see Tom Brady in a Super Bowl? Nate, I'm done with that, dude. I got to be honest, man. I mean, he's 43. He's in the game again. It wouldn't shock me if he's there again next year. When does it get to a point with Brady where we just, like, sit back, watch, and whenever he's done, he's done? Because trying to, like, put in perspective and think about, you know, the end, I believe the end is here when it's actually here, you know?
I believe the end is here when he actually walks away. You know, the old saying that father time is undefeated only applies to mere mortals like us. And it's crazy because we're not even talking about this extremely athletic dude. Like, it's one thing if we describe Michael Jordan this way or, you know, some of our great athletes in history. Tom Brady has come in, and I think one of his biggest knocks is the greatest compliment that you can give him, the fact that he is the slowest QB in the game. The fact that Tom Brady, in his career, every single game for 20 years, there's never been a defense that said, all right, guys, we're facing Tom Brady tomorrow. Be worried about him running. It's never happened. So how about that? Every defense that he's ever faced has come in and literally knew he had to pass the ball. And still, he's cooked defense year in, year out, season in, season out. And that's what makes him so great. So for me, what makes Tom Brady so special is the simple fact that, like, he doesn't see age as a hurdle. Like, he just avoids it.
Nate Burleson, check him out on the NFL Today, Super Bowl Today, next Sunday, coverage throughout on CBS. Nate, if Tampa Bay is winning this game and they're a slight underdog, they're playing a game at home, first time ever, you got a home team playing in their home stadium in a Super Bowl. But if Tampa's going to pull this thing off, what do they need to do?
They're going to have to lean on things that can keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. One, that defense. They're going to have to get out the quarterback, JPP, Vita Vea. You know, Levante David, Devin White are going to have to be big. So they're going to have to beat up Patrick Mahomes, create some three and outs so he's sitting his butt on the sideline. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you're definitely going to have to run the rock. And Playoff Lenny has been cooking. So, you know, when you get a nickname like Playoff Lenny, that's good. But how about Super Bowl Lenny? If Leonard Fournette can ball out, they'll have a good chance of beating this team.
Nate, you know we're doing a show here in New York City. And I think for a whole lot of Jet fans, it has become Deshaun Watson watch. And I saw the notification earlier today. I mean, listen, it's been a story for the last 2 weeks that he wants out of Houston. How realistic is that?
I'm not sure if he wants out or if he just wants input on what's going on. It seems like all the decisions are being made, and the quarterback, the main guy, the dude that has the rock every single play, isn't influencing that. And you see the same issues happening with Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been speaking out very candidly, not just about some of the play calling in the playoff game that they lost, but also about them drafting Jordan Love. Drafting a quarterback when you have me. You're drafting a running back when we have Aaron Jones. So there's this narrative that the GMs and owners, the front office, they shouldn't go to a player for what's going on off the field. But your quarterback isn't any old player. This is one of the best decision makers you have on the team, so allow them to have some input. So I feel like the best place for Deshaun is Houston. They just have to allow him to do a little bit more than just play quarterback.
Okay, Nate, what's your take on Robert Saleh? Obviously, he's a fiery, passionate guy. Saw that when he was the defensive coordinator with the San Francisco 49ers. What do you think of the new Jet head coach?
I like him. I like him. He's not just passionate. I know everybody points to that and say, oh, he's intense and he's the opposite of Gase. It's like hopping out of a relationship. You jump back in with a girl that's different than the one you broke up with. Okay, cool, that's fine and dandy, but he's also very intelligent, high IQ. So I feel like you're getting a combination of both. And to be honest, as a player, as a former player, I want that type of coach, the one that can come in and rile me up. I get goosebumps when he starts speaking, but then also can teach me something. And Robert Saleh is going to do that.
Nate, I'm a big-time Miami Dolphin fan, and I'm not abandoning ship with Tua. I know some Dolphin fans already now, like, ready to walk the plank. I mean, the guy's made 9 of 10 starts in the NFL. I think he's going to be fine, get some talent around him. What was your overall take watching Tua's rookie year?
He had some moments. This is in Alabama. This is the NFL. And I felt like as many moments that he had where we were able to say, oh, I see why they drafted him. I see why he was so successful in Alabama. There's also these moments where he felt overwhelmed, and you could see it. And that was the main reason why we would see Ryan Fitzmagic in the game for him. But now that he's went through that, he understands that the NFL can swallow you whole, and not just from the pocket collapsing, but also your emotions. I feel like he's going to be able to manage that a lot better this upcoming season.
Nate, final one, and I appreciate the time, man. You were a part of that wild Nickelodeon broadcast, Wild Card Weekend. I mean, dude, that was awesome. So I'm watching football week in and week out. My now fiance is not. She was captivated, mesmerized, slime, all of the stuff that you put into play. I'm sure a ton of kids loved it. What was it like for you to be a part of that Nickelodeon broadcast?
It was awesome. I mean, I'm an 80s baby, and I was raised in the 90s, influenced by the 2000s. So to be able to do a broadcast, the first ever broadcast on Nickelodeon, was incredible. You know, and all that stuff was my wheelhouse. You know, you love doing jobs where you don't have to fake it. So I didn't have to do any extra research. I didn't have to fake like I've seen these shows. The stuff that I was saying, it was all organic because I was almost raised on it. And I thought it was great for the FFO and Nickelodeon to partner up, just for the simple fact that it is pleasing visually to the five-year-old, but we're also talking about football, so the 50-year-old is tuned in too.
What was your favorite Nickelodeon show?
Double Dare, baby. Come on.
Okay,
now
I was a figure it out guy, to be honest with you.
Okay,
Nate. With
I like
Double Dare,
out.
I could roll with Double Dare.
Yeah, Double Dare was awesome, man. I used to love that show.
Nate, listen, appreciate a couple of minutes, man. Go get them. NFL today, Super Bowl today. We'll be watching next Sunday. And keep up the good work, man, all right?
No doubt.
That's Nate Burleson, one of the rock stars in NFL media. Good stuff there on the Super Bowl. A little Deshaun Watson. Got a lot more to do. It's JJ Jastrzemski. We're right here on The Fan.